Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Haseo, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Last hour was very therapeutic. We've been doing it for a long time. The post-mortem of the Maple Leafs season, it happened again on Saturday night. And they were the only home team of the Game 7s that lost, which is actually kind of crazy. They, Calgary, Edmonton, Carolina, New York, all found a way to win. And
all that work goes into that season to get that game at home.
Get that game at home. And we all knew a bunch of people that were down in the building, and it sounded like everyone just kind of filtered out, quiet, head down, like, I guess they lost again, you know, like it was...
Except the guy with the mullet and the beard that was caught.
There was one fight.
There was a fist fight, right?
Yeah, that guy with a mullet, no shirt. Where did he come from?
Well, I think he had a shirt on and he ripped it off. I thought he had a Tampa shirt on, but apparently it was a Leaf shirt.
It yeah, looked like it a Leaf miniature version of Pat Maroon just wheeling around with his skullet, and he was causing problems.
He was throwing bombs, but then there were guys suckering him from
I can't stand that garbage. I can't stand it. But that guy was looking for problems.
He was maybe
50
in the
beers, guaranteed, and pissed off.
A lot of anger in
that
building.
Somebody makes a comment. Absolutely. I mean, a lot of anger in Maple Leaf Square.
Yes.
They kept flashing back to that. You could see the anxiety and people, you know, you're right. It must have been like a morgue. You know, they lose and people just turn and go, all right.
They have never won a playoff series since Maple Leaf Square was established. Like, I believe it was established for that 13 playoff
right.
series
we
against Boston.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, it wasn't around when you were playing. Like in 2002, there wasn't a Maple Leaf Square, or
I think it's
like
smart.
It existed,
business.
But people weren't there.
It's good for business.
Absolutely,
like have them down.
Everyone's
there
doing it now.
Well, yeah, like
Calgary, Edmonton, they're
Edmonton.
All doing
there
it.
Was a wave of orange people. Calgary, the Red Square, whatever
yeah.
it's called. In 2004, I get traded from that team, but the Flames, your faithful, had like what was it called? The Red Mile. There was a bar. Like
that's
it was,
right.
That's what you're talking about. It should be...
Down Bremner, Scotiabank and the Dome.
That should be the Blue Mile. And
the Blue Mile.
And make it right to the Blue Jays. So the Blue Jays filter right to the Leafs. And then you throw the Raptors in there, too. Like, you got to create something like that, but...
Oh, there's other fish to fry before
well,
we work on the Blue
I get
Mile.
That. I get that.
But yeah, there's a lot of different things going on.
Imagine that would be the first thing out of the presser. We're extending the Blue Mile.
We have very exciting news to announce. Brendan Shanahan sits down. The Blue Mile is being established. We want everyone to know.
I think that would be brilliant.
I think it would be too, but the timing would be so poor.
If you
poor.
Pretended like nothing happened. Like, we're, you know what? Hey, we're here today and we're
think about how many
we're extending
things.
Legend Row. We're going to add a few people. Like,
can you imagine if that's how they came out? Like, we know everyone's sour, but... We're going to extend Legends Row. The Blue Mile is going to be established. And, you know, beer prices are going down. Like, that might be actually a way to really get people on your side.
And Carlton's going to have a blue goatee.
We're changing up Carlton the Bear.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's going to have blue facial hair moving forward.
It might be just something different. That's all.
It might be. So it's the PGA Championship this week. But we're also getting close to the U.S. Open. I'm just seeing this because we've had him on the show before, Garrett Rank, who's an NHL ref.
Yeah.
He qualified for the...
So this is according to Monday qualifier information, which is looks like a legitimate Twitter page online. It's got almost 100,000 followers. And just tweeted out about an hour and a half ago, the Canadian and NHL referee Garrett Rank was even through five holes today at the U.S. Open qualifier. When he got a call to ref game one of the Avs Blues series, and he left immediately. Rank had played in the U.S. Open in 2018 and has played in four total tour events with one made cut. So
he was reffing Saturday night the Ranger game, wasn't he?
I guess he flew into wherever he had to fly in for a U.S. Open qualifier and was kind of rolling along and then got the call and said, you got to get to Colorado, and he pulled the chute on the qualifier.
Dude, that's where cool. You got to blow the cash on a private bird and finish your round.
I think you got to flush the call and say, you know, I'll answer you in 3 hours.
Didn't we have a joke about somebody golfing and their phone wasn't on in the golf course?
I think it was former Islanders GM, Gar Snow.
It was Gar Snow.
18 holes on trade deadline. The horn wasn't on. It wasn't our boy Gart, though. Somebody else.
I'm sure it was someone else. It's probably the owner, the former owner. Couldn't have been Gar Snow. There's no way.
No, Garth. I know Garth well. He's a good dude.
Yeah. I don't remember that joke going over very well. I think it might have made its
whoever
way down
we
to
were
Long
talking
Island.
About, it wasn't received very well.
There are times when things happen on this show and they make their way through the grapevine and teams find out.
It happens.
Like
it happens.
Arizona State.
Well, the Arizona State University Coyotes.
We're not saying it anymore.
The second they start playing in that building, as far as I'm concerned, they're the Arizona State University Coyotes. And I expect Ray to call him that when he's calling games for ESPN.
He's in between the benches.
TSN.
He says that. I mean, that's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. It's just going to be a smaller building.
It will be a great atmosphere. There's a glass half full for you.
Yeah.
Nothing but positivity on this Monday.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Sure, that surprises you, Ray. We're very positive up here. Everyone's in a very good mood.
Actually, shocked. I didn't expect this tone, especially from you, Hayes.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you'd be out with, like the teeth, the fangs out, and, you know, like, that's what I was expecting.
I was last hour. I've cooled down between 4:55 and 5 p.m. because it's a new hour. It's a new kind of a lease on life, and it's crazy, right? Like, the four of us have been talking about this team, the Leafs, forever.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have done more radio hits than I swear any other duo in the history of sports radio. It's been a lot. It's been a lot. Like, we've been at the station for 11 years doing postmortems. And every single time afterwards, we bring you on and I ask you what the hell just happened. And I guess we'll start there. Like, how do you explain the Leafs losing again? And what is a reasonable reaction to being back in the same position they have been for six straight years?
Well, it does feel certainly different that this year that as opposed to the past little bit, right? Like, the one series I think we talked about this was like, man, like, what if you get in against Tampa and Vasilevsky throws a 52 saver up? Well, he didn't have 52, but he was the difference. It's not that Campbell was bad. He was the difference. He's just, you ran into the one guy you don't want to run into. And, you know, I don't know. Like, what else was Toronto going to do? I mean, I guess their power play, their power play could have been better, right? They could have been more disciplined at times. But the things we always complained about, we wanted them to compete harder, wanted them to be more aggressive, wanted them to hang in tight and tough games. They did all of that. They just didn't win.
Yeah, that's what we talked about, Ray, how regardless of how different people think it is or was, the result is still the same. And Hayes stayed up very late at night to come up with a philosophy, and you're going to be shocked how actually smart this sounds, because the synergy between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Raptors, he talked about Masai Ujiri and the idea of him sending a jolt through the locker room and not letting people get comfortable. Apparently, the players loved Dwayne Casey. He removed him from this scenario. DeMar DeRozan was Kyle Lowry's best friend. He said, you know what, we're not going to trade you. 24 hours later, he was dealt. And Hayes described that we're calling it Joltgate. That's what he described as, you know, getting people to wake up and understand you're not allowed. Maybe not the word you're not allowed or not the phrase you're not allowed to feel comfortable, but it's like what you're doing is not good enough and things are going to change.
Well, I have not bought to your, you know, to your statement, which is shocking. That came from Hayes, by the way.
His dad did it, but go ahead.
I'm reading a lot about, you know, because it was better and, you know, like, they shouldn't do anything, and they got more respect in the handshake line. Like, who the hell cares?
Oh, God.
That was a tough comment.
Can you believe that comment?
Like, that to me, like, I think Sheldon's really smart. I really do. And I think he's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But that to me smelt of self-preservation.
That was a bogey there.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And so I do look at their team, and I go, like, how do you think they're going to be better next year? Like, how are they going to be better? They can't sign Mikheyev.
No.
What do you think he's going to get this year, this summer? Somebody's going to overpay for a really good player, but it's going to be out of the Leafs' budget. Like, could they bring Giordano back? Do you want to bring Giordano back?
Yeah.
Like, he's at $3.3 million, right? Like, you're not going to play for free.
There's a lot of work to do with $6 million available, Ray.
Right, and so how are they going to be better? Like, Jack Campbell is going to eat up a lot of that.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, what, I don't even know, I couldn't even hazard a guess what that number would be, but it's certainly going to be more than 1.65.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't pay him six, and I can't afford to pay him six.
No, I kept thinking, I don't know how you guys feel, but you always look at comparables. He's not a standalone one, right? He's not a 65-game starter, so he doesn't fall into Hellebuck's money. To me, it's more Robin Leonard's deal, which is five.
Why does it have to be a deal with, why do you have to marry yourself to Jack Campbell? You look what Carolina did. They had a hell of a team last year. They walked away from both of their goals.
Well, I understand.
And said, we're just
and
not doing it.
Look where they are now.
Here's the other thing.
In the next round.
They are married to Peter Mrazek for the next 2 years at 3.8, unless they can package that situation up.
Well, who's lining up for that?
Well, those are decisions and things that need to be dealt with in the offseason. It's not just, you know, Spezza and Giordano and Mikheyev. You know, it's the shape of the group. And coming back, I'll bring it back to what you said, Brian. Are you going to roll back the same core, or are you going to send a jolt through there and maybe look at something different and maybe bring back a different player if you move somebody out, a different dynamic of a player?
Okay, and so here's the thing, like, to get right to the brass tacks, it's not Matthews, it's not Marner, it cannot be Tavares because he's not going to go anywhere. So you're right back to the same guy again.
Right.
If you're going to throw a jolt into the room, like, who else could it be?
What about the coach?
Well, I'm sure everybody's noticed that Barry Trotz doesn't have a job and Pete DeBoer doesn't have a job. And, you know, there's lots of quality people that are just kind of lurking around here.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that? Sure, but does that really feel like, to me, that doesn't feel like a Dubas move right now. Like, that would be his first move. Yet, I did find the timing interesting that DeBoer got fired a week after Trotz got fired.
Yeah.
Like, I found that timing kind of interesting. Oh, look who's available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people will look at their coaches differently depending on who's on the market or not. And there's some really great guys that are out there. But to change the coach, that's a jolt. Because, they have 110 points. They played a hell of a series, and they didn't win.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, right? Like, it's not that you look at the team. We all said this in the previous hour. We said it all year. They're not a team you dislike. They're not a team that disrespects the history of the team or the city or the fan base. They're not guys that, you know, are doing dumb things and showing up late for practice. It's, by all accounts, not a poisonous room, which I think makes it more difficult because I think you're probably looking at it thinking, we're a good team. We put together a good team. I don't dispute they're hungry for success, and yet it just continues to be the exact same result. And we're talking a pretty significant amount of, like, sample size here.
Right.
Where
right.
If you include the coach, that's 3 years. That's Columbus, Montreal, Tampa with Keith, the big four up front, Morgan Riley, Jake Muzzin on the back end, and the last two with Brody. Like, so you're talking four forwards, three defensemen, and a coach where you've had, you know, ample opportunity to prove that you can overcome it, and it just hasn't happened. And you're also dealing with a different dynamic, I think, for the first time in Shanahan's reign here, where I do wonder where ownership comes into play on the marketability of this team coming out of a pandemic where everyone's lost a fortune. And, you know, they've always been untouchable. They've always sold out. They've always made a fortune. Feels a little bit different. Like, it feels like apathy's got a little bit more of a chance to actually grab hold. And as much of a jolt to the room as needed, maybe I could see ownership saying, we kind of need a jolt so the fans won't roll their eyes at us anymore.
Well, you know what? That's a really great point because when you come back next year, we've said this, I don't know how many years in a row, whatever they do in the regular season doesn't matter.
Right.
Well, next year it really doesn't matter. You got to get to April 15th before anybody gives a damn.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you got to play 82 games, and it's got to be interesting, and you've got to win, and you've got to, you know, you've got to take a, you know, whatever the next step is. You can't even take it till April. Well, and if you show up with the same characters, how's the book going to be any different?
And I added to it, Ray, the scary part is there's no guarantee that everyone's going to have their best seasons again next year. You know, look at Winnipeg. You know, we liked Winnipeg on paper at the start of the season, and, you know, the wheels fell off. Like, it just didn't fit. The goaltender wasn't as consistent, you know, Scheifele and Wheeler injuries and COVID and all sorts of things, and all of a sudden they missed the playoffs by a couple points. And I'm not suggesting that's where the Leafs head, but not everything's going to be a perfect, hey, we're going to get 115 points, and Matthews is going to rip home 60, and Marner's going to get close to 100 points.
It
and
could
Nylander.
Be a grinding year.
Well,
right
it just
there.
Could be a different looking year. And then everyone's a year older. You know, what's Tavares going to look like a year later with a little bit more mileage on him? And, you know,
Noodles, I was in Boston or in Carolina on the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Bruins, and I'm like, it feels like that window is shut.
Right.
Like, that's what it feels like. Like, if Patrice Bergeron retires, how are you replacing that? Like, how are you replacing him?
Right.
And so they will have some money, but then you got to replace them. Their second and third lines gave them nothing, like zero.
Yep.
And so, like, the Bruins are not going forward. They're going backwards. One of these years, Tampa's going to get tired. I mean, I think we saw some signs of it now. Like, all the extra games compacted into tight windows with COVID and all that stuff, they're going to run out of gas. One of these times, they're just going to, you know, Vasilevsky, you're going to say, yeah, he's the best goalie in the world, and it's not going to matter. Like, one of these times. Florida's going to run into, you know, into cap issues here. They, unfortunately, God, that bugs me. We keep saying that about every good team.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they're going to have to throw some guys overboard this year after this season. And so everybody's got their own little dance they've got to play. But if it feels wrong, I don't know that you can be so patient anymore. Because you're only so many years you're going to be around that top group. Toronto's around the top group. Like, it's not enough. So what can be different? Because, you mentioned the good player or the players maybe not hitting career years. You're going to have to subtract some guys. And, yeah, so you go find another Andre Kasha for $1 million or $1.2 million and hope he can do what Ilya Mikheyev can. And it probably won't. So you back up a bit. Is Michael Bunting going to do this again next year? Like, I don't know. He never, he barely played in the league until this year.
Right.
Like, it's pretty hard to project. Oh, yeah, it's going to be more growth for him. Is Matthews going to get 62 or 52 next year? What's Marner going to, like, you can just go down all of them and go, man, so many people had really great years. And then you get right to the end, and it's the same thing.
Ray, you just said if it feels wrong. I've always said if it feels wrong, I don't want to be right. Go ahead, Hazel.
That frightens me on so many levels, though.
You have no idea. We're in a room with this guy. We just heard him say it. He was staring at me while he said it, too. Put yourself in this room. It doesn't even have to apply to the Leafs, but if you're in a situation where your team keeps losing, publicly, you know what they're going to say tomorrow. You know, it's going to be the same mea culpa. It's going to be the same commentary. It's going to be the same, I hope they give us a chance to go back on it. How much self-awareness do you have as a player, though, when you're in that room? In other words, do you think there's a chance there are Leafs, Bruins, Penguins, Capitals, just using the teams in the East, sitting there saying, we're not good enough, or we need something different, or... You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you think there's a chance, regardless of what they're going to say publicly, that maybe privately they realize that there's a real problem?
Well, I think that goes to where you sit on the roster. The really good players can acknowledge that they're not quite good enough. Like, the good players can acknowledge that. The guys that are in the middle to the lower part of the lineup, the ones that are really probably going to get traded out or changed out, they don't want to even, you don't even want to accept that in your own mind. Because it might be you,
right?
Like that, the guys. If you can go through that lineup, if you pulled up the roster card, and you could go, these are the guys that potentially are in trouble. First of all, start with all the contracts, and you can figure out in a hurry who might or might not be back. And then you go, okay, so we're, you know, we've got those 10 guys or whatever it is. But then after that, if they're going to make changes, who can it be? And you have to acknowledge you're not good enough because you didn't get out of the first round again. Like, that's great. You're a, you know, you had a great year. That's awesome. But you didn't get out of the first round. So you, there are people in all those rooms, I'm sure, thinking, geez, I hope we get one more crack at it. I hope we get another crack. Stanley Cup champions trade or change out 20% of their roster most of the time. Like, look what Tampa did last year. They won. They had cap stuff. They moved some people out. They bring in Nick Paul. They bring in Brandon Hagel. Ross Colton becomes a regular. Like, those are all guys that weren't there at the start of last year. And it's going to happen for whoever wins this year, and it's certainly going to happen for those that didn't win.
You mentioned the Bruins a moment ago. Generally, it's about the window closing. Let me phrase it this way. Whose window is most open? Is it Boston, Washington, or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh still.
Even with all the UFAs and stuff, like, they got
a big
offseason.
Because don't forget, Malkin's going to – I'd be stunned if Malkin's back.
Really?
Yes. I'll be stunned. Like, what's he going to do, play for $4 million? Not a chance.
And he probably wants term, too.
So here's the other thing that cannot be discounted. They have new owners.
Mm-hmm.
The owners own, like, the Fenway Group. They own the Red Sox. I've been a Red Sox fan since 1975. One of my favorite players in those 40 years has been Mookie Betts. He now plays in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, nope, too much money, too much allocated to one guy, off he went. Like, they're going to have zero connectivity to the loyalty of what the older guys have done.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'd like to bring Letang back, Crosby, Rust. Well, Crosby's coming back, but right. Letang, Rust, those are the priorities.
Interesting. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that team is good. I think that team is good. I really do. Like, they're hard to play against. They're like, man, they
got a hell of a coach
team.
Too. Like, Pat Sullivan can coach. Like,
man, I'm telling you, Noodles, we talked to him a lot during this series, and each time I walked away, I was like, man, that guy is impressive.
He's
smart.
Yeah.
Like, I think they do a really good job there. So the trick will be once they free up the money for the guys they don't sign. And again, I have no inside. It just strikes me as Malkin's not, that is the one of the big group. So that money can be reallocated somewhere else, somewhere a little younger, somewhere a little quicker. Like, Malkin doesn't, you know, he had pretty major knee surgery, and as I watched him, he didn't have the pop he used to have when he skated. So, but of the three, I think Washington, what are they going to do in goal? They're getting old. They're getting long in the tooth. Doesn't sound like Nick Backstrom's going to play, you know, or is really going to have to make a decision whether he can play. You know, so that's another guy out of their lineup.
Yeah,
right? It doesn't go fast, but the end goes fast.
Yeah, it happens very quickly. Malkin on that breakaway that he scored on, he looked like Forrest Gump breaking out of the stilts. Like, he
tried
just,
to get going.
Well, and he banked it to himself and ended up scoring. It was a great play. But I wanted to ask you, I'm not sure if you were working the game, but did you see the look on Sullivan's face when Louis Domingue allowed that goal with about a minute and a half left?
Oof.
No, I was not working that, and I when that thing went up in the air, it must have, on the bench, it must have felt like 5 minutes.
Ugh.
When it hit him and went up in the air. But the story,
not the best.
Well, not the best. So the story was awesome and all that, but like, he's the third guy,
right?
Like, how did you, it wasn't going to end if he had to keep playing. That was five games in a row.
Yeah.
Like, he would have, you know, like, that's not, there is no plan for your third string goalie to play five straight games.
Yeah.
And he kind of hung in there, except if you look at it, aside from the great story, he gave up four goals in every game.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was
kind of an important stat. I love how when he gave up that goal, he immediately looks at the defenseman like, what's your problem?
It was Jeff Carter behind
him. Was it Carter?
Jeff Carter could not even look him in the eye.
I know, he turned around.
He was like, I can't even look at you right now. It was going dead at him and in his blocker and shot straight. I don't even know how
it's one of the worst goals you get. It was a flick shot from the blue line.
Yeah,
it was
that's the series right there.
But, not the best.
Not the best for Louis.
It didn't
not
go
the best.
So well, unfortunately.
Yeah, and he, the one I did see was when Rodriguez took that bad penalty and Sullivan threw a dagger through him.
If he had laser beams coming out of his eye, he would have exploded Rodriguez.
The one where he cross-checked the guy and he was out of frustration. Oh, yeah. My God, was he mad. But he was back out on the ice quickly. I was shocked he threw him back out on the ice.
Oh, I'm sure you would had a moment like that where as you're coming to the bench, you feel the lock-in from the coach.
Ray, the best is...
you try to look away, and you're like... And then you take that quick peek because, you know, okay, he's probably turned away, and he's still staring at you.
Every player that goes to the penalty box, and you and Jamie know better than anyone because you're at ice level, they'll always look like they're looking at the guy in the penalty box, but they're horse-eyeing what the coach is doing on the bench to see how mad he is. Every single guy, if you look, they'll be like, I'm going to tie my skates, and then I'm going to do a quick little look-up horse-eye, and he's got a death stare at you.
Yeah, there's no escaping that. He's going to lock right in. So they were. I don't know. That to me was as interesting a series because of the swings in it, right? The ups and the downs of it. But that's going to hurt. That's a tough loss for Pittsburgh because it is the end of the. You know, it's 16 straight years they've been in the playoffs, and it's you know. Honestly, it's over. It's going to be. It's not going to look like that ever again. There.
Yeah. We'll get you out of here on a Battle of Alberta breakdown. How do you see this one playing out?
Oh, I think Calgary's better. I think they're deeper. I can't believe they had to play as long against Dallas as they did. But that, like Ottinger, was like that. That's as good a goaltending performance as I can remember in a long time. Brilliant. I think Calgary's going to beat them in, I think I picked six games. No, seven. I think I took them seven back home. I just think they got a little too much depth, and if Dreisaitl's not quite at 100, you know, that's crushing for
them. It's a big hit. Yeah, the Dreisaitl storyline is huge between now and game one. You know, where he's at, if he can recover whatsoever. But it's 30 years in the
making. What's interesting about it, though, right now, as I'm thinking, is like, so right now Mike Smith's a hero.
Yeah, shutout, a 40-year-old in Game 7.
Yeah, but just think of how quickly it goes for him. He gives up two bad goals. He's the worst goalie in the league, and Ken Holland's an idiot. Mm-hmm. And then they win in Game 7, and they're like, oh, this team's put together. Look at their depth, and oh, what a goaltender. Like, there's no fan base that swings faster and more passionately, I don't think, than Edmonton.
Well, there's one here that's kind of...
I don't think the swings, though.
Well...
Like,
You know what? You're right. Like Ken Holland, I don't think has social media, but like Duncan Keith will come around the net and just have one little giveaway, and it's like that idiot signed this guy or traded for him, and like Ken Holland trends twice a week. But yet their team, yes, I mean 97 was possessed game 6 and 7.
Unreal, eh?
So
unreal.
You've got the golden goose that may just drag you through.
You're into the second round, right? You don't have to explain yourself. You move on and you see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Great catching up with you. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, I got home yesterday from Raleigh. You know, it's not short, Raleigh to Vancouver. There's no direct flights.
No.
And home today, turn around, right back to Raleigh tomorrow.
No way.
Yeah, back to the house that Old built.
Yes. Say hi to everyone down there for us.
You know what? Oh, each game they have somebody do the siren thing. You should come down there.
Ray, I did that one time.
How'd your shoulder come out?
Me and a military guy, which they pay respect to the military down there, we're out at center ice doing it. And I said to him, I go, look, bud, I really don't want to be hammering on that thing. You can rev up that whatever the hell it is, an engine horn, I go, I'm not touching that. And we both almost went down at center ice on the carpet because the carpet was swaying and I had a massive boiler and it was just an absolute disaster. And they didn't have anybody stepping on the carpet to make it secure. And me and the guy from the military almost... It was almost a cry. Like, it
would
was,
have been great.
Oh,
two
God, it was
wheels.
Almost, it was my worst nightmare. I'm like, okay, yeah. We're going out there with this massive engine horn thing, and we're going down.
Yep.
And it almost happened.
You survived. Well, there you go,
Ray. Well, I think they should bring you in. If this goes deeper, I think they should bring you back. I'd like to see it.
I agree.
I don't think so. That would require paying for a plane ticket. They don't want to do that.
May not happen. Maybe we can jump on with you at some point.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to. Oh, you got to come on. They'd pay for it. They got sellouts all the time now. Oh,
yeah, they're loaded down there. New owner?
New owner.
Yeah.
There you go.
Deep pockets.
Don't get me started on that. We'll chat later, pal.
Later, buddy. Have a good one. Great to talk to you. Hope you're all good.
Yep, you too, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com.
You imagine Van and then back to Raleigh the next day?
And he said there's no direct flight,
no,
so he's flying to Chicago.
Chicago or Houston, probably one of the two.
Houston, south, too.
Go south and then over, like depending on what airline you're going through. You might go through Denver.
Maybe flies to Toronto, possibly, if you're in Vancouver.
Yeah, you might go Toronto and down. That's probably the most direct.
That's insane, though, one day. I don't know.
That's a big commitment.
You want to see your kids? You want to see your family? Change your underwear out?
Yeah, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
Burn them. Yes.
Yeah, Ray, heading back down. So there you go, Carolina, New York. And you got the Battle of Florida. That's going to be sickening to hear in the next 2 weeks. There's a state that really deserves
it. That might get ugly, too.
Oh, I think it absolutely will.
There was no love loss last year.
Yeah.
In Florida, I think they think the Panthers think they can beat them this
year.
They
should. Listen, Tampa's a really good team. They got the Leafs, but... Like Ray said, at some point they're going to hit a wall.
Well, and no point if no. They're saying that point's not going to be available game one.
That looked like he. I don't know if that was his quad, a Charlie horse.
That looked like he popped his
groin or hip or
yeah,
something.
Groin or something. Yeah, and if that's the case, he's done. Then he's done.
I felt bad for him, like just as an athlete. Like you could see how much pain.
He was in bad shape.
Yeah.
The Mariners are up here, which means it should be a Robbie Ray homecoming, but it's not. We'll tell you why next. So the Mariners are in town, and you got Yusei Kikuchi on the mound playing his former team tonight. And, of course, the Mariners happen to be the new team for Robbie Ray. And Robbie Ray put forth one of the great seasons in Blue Jay history, and he won the Cy Young last year. And he was not scheduled to pitch. But he is not even with the team. He's not in town. And I think a lot of people are connecting the dots. That means Robbie Ray is not vaccinated.
Ah.
But how did he get through last year?
We looked that up, and the mandatory vax rules went into work, I guess, was it October 31st? So it would have been at the end of the regular season, October 30th. So they had not taken effect while the Jays were up here and still playing.
Interesting.
So... That makes you wonder. Now, Gausman clearly looks like it was the right play. Gausman's been great. But did Robbie Ray tell them, I'm not coming back anyway because I'm not... Again, we're assuming he's vaccinated, but putting two and two together, why would you not make the trip up here? He's healthy. He's playing. You're coming back. You know they'd celebrate him if he came back tonight.
Right. You think vaccination status could have affected his decision on where to play?
I absolutely believe so. Like, if he... You know, he made that choice, but up here, it's like if you aren't vaccinated, you can't play, you know, or the quarantine rules and all that kind of stuff. Or I wonder if the Jays were like, we can't even entertain it because we can't, you're not going to be able to play.
Well, we're not sure how this is going
to last. Or we're not sure where it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
I mean, it's the right move anyways.
Because Gausman's been great.
But.
But it's kind of, it makes you look back on it. You're like, man, that was quick. Like, he just won a Cy Young for you.
Yeah.
Like, man, he was phenomenal. And it's like, now we're done now moving on with Gausman. And I think they would say they wanted Gausman anyway, and they're not disrespecting Robbie Ray. He made a choice. That's fine. And maybe they were prepared for him to kind of come back to earth, which I think was a reality, based on it being not a flash in the pan, but it was a one-off incredible season. He won a Cy Young. No one saw that coming.
No.
Nobody saw it coming. And I don't think he'll ever even be in contention for one again.
Right.
but it is interesting. He's not even up here.
Bit of a spicy meatball. Unless you guys are playing in Inspector Clouseau and trying to put
who knows? Maybe
the grappler back there with his trench coat on.
You're right.
McGruff, the crime dog.
McGruff, the crime dog grappler. He is trying to make sure that he puts two and two together here.
Well, if he's not with the team, can somebody ask that? Where is he? Where the hell is he?
I would think someone would be asking that. But again, it's a personal, like, I don't think they're going to announce it. Seattle's under no obligation to tell the Toronto media what's up with Robbie Ray. But he's not up here. And I think you'd ask him to come out. A little curtain call. Thanks for coming back. Cy Young winner. Great to see you, Robbie. See you later.
Yeah.
Little video.
Tribute video.
Like, he'll come back at some point. You know,
has a pitcher ever been allowed to kind of have his own schedule where it's like, I'll meet you here to pitch. Oh, then I'll meet you there. Because I'm only going every 5 days, and I don't really need to be hanging around doing nothing.
I don't think so. But if it is, it's not Robbie Ray. Like, no. He signed a big deal, and he had some clout going back to...
I bet you the big unit, Randy Johnson, had his own routine. That guy, apparently him and somebody else in Arizona, they had these... Everyone else had regular chairs.
Probably Schilling.
Him and Schilling, and they had these massive, like,
recliners.
Brown leather recliners in front of their stalls, and everyone else had a little pigeon stool.
I actually think that's
positive. I love that. You get a pigeon stool... Like, what I don't understand about that is, why wouldn't you go to war for the other guys in the room and say, we want everyone to have a chair?
You can buy recliners for
everybody.
Not
just me and Schilling want our own chairs.
Right. Like, Randy Johnson was making, like, $30 million a year or whatever. You're telling me he couldn't buy recliners for every guy in the clubhouse?
That's just himself. That's the funny. Like, what if we came in here and he was sitting in a recliner in the middle?
Right. He's like, in a Game of Thrones chair and we're in a little pigeon stool. Like, wouldn't you think... Either you would step up to TSN and say,
that's exactly what would happen. I'd be like, I can't go in there with that chair. And these two guys are on a pigeon stool.
You're on a Game of Thrones, like the big.
Because I know you. You would walk out and say, I'm not doing the
show. I'd snap.
Yeah,
like,
you'd
honestly
say, I'm not doing the show until I get a chair.
Can you imagine if you're like a stud on that team, like Luis Gonzalez? Yeah. You know, and you're like, I'm sitting on a stool.
A wooden
a folding
bar stool.
Chair. He's
a folding chair. And there's. Johnson and Schilling are in the greatest chairs of all time. Like, it would be embarrassing if you were in that chair, too, and everyone else was on a brutal stool or whatever. Sure, it wasn't a stool.
All those guys make so much money. Just buy your own. But
is it a policy, though? That's what, like, was that what happened in Arizona? Like, the policy was, these two are different, and they're better than you, and you're scum, so you have to sit on a pigeon stool.
That would be.
That's a joy.
Based on
every
how good
leaf
you
in
were,
a pigeon stool.
Based on
year.
How good you were in that room was the seating.
Wouldn't that be amazing? The chair status defined you in the depth chart.
So what's the lowest form of a chair? Like just a mat on the floor? You could sit on the floor?
Yeah, I guess so. So mat on the floor is like 25th man on the roster.
Recliner with a fridge in it, and that's your
superstar.
Starting ace. So somewhere in between,
somewhere in between would be what? Like just
a nice folding
like a business
chair.
Kind of like what we're on right now. This is a
nice
chair,
these
but it's
would
not
be in the higher end. You'd be in the probably starting pitching rotation with this.
Maybe.
These are nice.
These are nice, but they're not like the most comfortable chairs.
Grappler, see if you can get an image of those chairs because I know that story
I've
is
seen
true.
Them. I've seen them like, don't you feel like they were interviewed while sitting in those chairs?
Probably. Yeah, that's the best part is that they probably exclusively did media appearances in those chairs to make sure everyone knew that they had access to those chairs.
I think it would be awesome.
God, it'd be so aggro. And some guys like tried to sneak in seats in those chairs, and then like Johnson probably came in and confronted them and said, you're never allowed to sit in my chair.
Dude, there would be some guys, I'm not kidding, that would say, I'm going to wait around until everyone's gone. I'm going to light those both on fire.
Yeah, I know. Or other things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do something to that chair.
I'm going to be completely naked and sit there for a bit.
That chair is going to take a beating. I'm going to send a message to you in that chair.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's gutless for two guys to accept the chairs and nobody else.
Dude, I think it was part of the package. It was like, we want you guys here, and you're going to have big, massive luxury chairs in the clubhouse.
Yeah, because they were studs. They won a World Series down there. They took out the Yankees in 2001.
A couple of years ago when the Oilers were on, like, it was a tough go for them. That's the equivalent of McDavid and Draisaitl sitting there in those chairs and everyone else on the roster.
Everyone else just in the worst
chairs. On a wooden bench.
Yeah. a wooden. Everyone else gets Splinters. A bench, a Ted Reeve bench.
Yeah.
And those two are in chairs that kings.
Yeah. The Game of Thrones.
The chair. Game of Thrones chair.
That's
yeah.
something else, man.
Well, anyway, Battle of Alberta starts on Wednesday night. We got games tomorrow. The NBA playoffs continues. We'll come back and we'll play a clip from ESPN today where Pat Beverly was in there of the Minnesota Timberwolves. and Beverly's always chirping. And he said something about Chris Paul today. I've never heard an athlete say something like this about a current player, like a current player saying this about a current player.
Yeah.
It was the worst carving session, I think, of all time.
Are you
going
to bring it to me?
We'll come back and play it. Wait till you hear what he had to say about Chris Paul. We'll do that next. All right, so the Phoenix Suns really, really embarrassed themselves yesterday. That was a drubbing unlike anything I've seen in a long time.
Like 50 points, wasn't it?
Yeah, like Luka Doncic had as many points as they did at the half. Luka and... Like, they were up 3-2 in that series. And
didn't E.J. Carlissimo say that's the best team left?
They were the best team all year. Monty Williams won Coach of the Year. You know, they were in the finals. You know, like, this is a team of experience. This is a team that was relatively healthy, and they just got absolutely roasted. And, like, Doncic is already one of the all-time great, like, killers in the game in the playoffs. Like, his stats are absurd.
Right.
And there was a great shot of him walking off the court after game five saying, like, these guys are talking tough now that they got the lead. Like, basically, we'll see.
We'll see you soon, yeah.
And then game six, daggers, and he beat, and last night he laid a torch into Phoenix.
Yeah.
And Patrick Beverly, who hasn't won anything in this league either, like, let's point that out. And Beverly is not a superstar, but he talks a lot of smack. He was on ESPN today. And he was asked about Chris Paul and the way, like, Chris Paul's taken a lot of heat, deservedly so. He's been awful. Late in the series, he was terrible. He's
but
the
for the most part, a pretty respected guy in the league.
Yes. Respected guy, was the president of the PA, first ballot Hall of Famer, but a guy who can't get it done in the playoffs. Like, the only guy in NBA history who has lost five times when his team has been up 2-0. And he's a superstar. So he owns that.
Yeah.
Here's what Patrick Beverly had to say about how the league feels about Chris Paul.
Man, CP can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in the NBA
he
know
can't
that.
Guard,
everybody
can't
know
guard
that.
Anybody.
What we call them? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a cone. Stop playing, man. Everybody
that
knows
right.
that. Everyone knows that. It's just y'all don't want to accept it because
no, I don't accept that.
I don't.
I'm saying again, if you're taller than them, you'll see you can shoot over him. Obviously, that's
but
an
give
issue.
Him the but, Ben Simmons but, slander. Give him the PG 13 slander. Give him the slander that you give everybody.
See, that last part is a good point, but he calls him a cone. He's like, that's how bad defensively he is. Like, everyone in the NBA wants to torch Chris Paul because they believe he's awful defensively. And he obviously might have a point. But he does bring up, I think, Beverly, a valid point at the end.
Yeah.
That it's a superstar-driven league in the NBA, and if your team chokes, you take the heat. Harden took it. Simmons took it. PG took it.
Yeah.
Street clothes has taken it at times. Chris Paul's got to take it. Like, right. He's a superstar, first ballot
that's
Hall of Famer. He was
saying.
Awful.
You give it to everybody. You know?
Send it around.
Yeah.
But that's a guy in the league going on ESPN and torching Chris Paul. And he had a bunch to say about a lot of different players, too, man. Like, he was.
Dude, you know what happened there. He's on with Stephen A. Smith. He wants to make a scene.
He
knows he can't go on there and be like, oh, it's a good game. He knew the routine there to cause a ruckus. He's not stupid.
But he doesn't have to. He's making a fortune. He's still in the league.
I get it. Maybe he wants to do this when he's done.
Well, guess what he's going to be able to do when he's done? Because that just put his stake in the ground. That
exactly.
Patrick Beverly's the guy you want
to
hear.
All you need to do is once or twice a week say, you know what everybody in the league calls that guy? And come up with two or three of those and people
cone.
Are like, a cone.
We call him Cone.
That's a tough nickname.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that is harsh. But if it's the truth, I appreciate it. Like,
that's
it
fair.
Actually, and he's saying, you guys don't know because you're not in the room. But he went on to say, he's like, when we were in Mini, everyone wanted Phoenix.
Yeah.
No one was scared of Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because on the outside, you think, well, they're the first place team. They've been in the finals.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe he's not being 100% genuine, but he's torching Chris Paul. He's got an issue with Chris Paul. He's got an issue with Phoenix. He went at him.
I think that was 20% true and 80%
bluster.
Trying to be Stephen A. Smith.
He did it. He accomplished something.
But he went at Smith, saying, you got to give it to him just like you give it to everybody else.
And that's valid, I think, because that does have everyone's like, well, Chris Paul, he's been around, blah, 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 seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're going to give it to everyone else, you got to be consistent.
Yeah.
That's a superstar league. That's what drives it. All right, Chris Johnston will join us, our TSN Hockey Insider, back into the Leafs postmortem. What do they do from here? What do we hear out of them tomorrow? Shanahan, Dubas, the players expected to speak. That more coming up in the final hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, soon to be on TSN 2.